Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling a really interesting leadership question. How do the very best leaders go beyond just their own success? How do they actually lift up everyone around them?
Yeah, it's a big one.
And we're going to explore this by looking inside a pretty unique environment, those confidential, structured forums where CEOs get together to work through their biggest headaches.
Right. And on the surface, you know, these forums look like they're all about solving immediate problems, managing a crisis, planning an acquisition, dealing with investors, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But what our research really shows, what the sources point to, is that the real long-term impact often comes from something else,
yeah.
Something operating sort of under the surface. We call it collateral learning.
Collateral learning. Okay, that sounds, well, maybe a bit academic. For a CEO who's under intense pressure right now, why should they care about something collateral? Sounds like a nice to have, maybe, not a need to have.
Well, that's actually the interesting part. That tension is sort of why it's so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Collateral learning is what you pick up indirectly, almost by accident, while you're laser focused on solving that main problem.
Ah, okay.
It's the attitudes, the ways of interacting, the new perspectives that kind of soak in just by being in that room doing the work. And look, this isn't some brand new idea. It actually goes back to John Dewey in the 1930s.
Dewey, right, the educator.
Okay.
Okay, let's ground this. If we look at his book, Experience in Education, from 1938, he talked about a core challenge in learning, didn't he?
He absolutely nailed it. Dewey said, and I'm paraphrasing slightly, that maybe the biggest mistake in education is thinking someone only learns the specific thing they're studying right then.
Okay.
And the implication for these CEO forums is massive. The CEO walks in thinking, I need to figure out my market strategy. But what's really changing them often is what Dewey called the formation of enduring attitudes.
Enduring attitudes. So like how they learn, how they engage.
Exactly. How they interact, how they listen, maybe how they even show a bit of vulnerability. That shift in attitude can end up being way more valuable than the solution to the specific problem they brought in.
Got it. So our mission today for this deep dive isn't really about their market strategy itself. It's about figuring out the mechanics. How does that attitude shift actually happen? And how does it turn these individual leaders into, well, people who shape the culture of their whole organization, making them multipliers of learning, as you said?
That's precisely it. And to understand that, we first need to unpack the environment itself.
Right. So if the real learning is collateral, like a byproduct, what are the specific conditions needed in these forums for that to actually happen? Because they're not just casual chats, right? They're intense, structured settings for deep work.
Yeah.
What makes them a leadership laboratory?
Yeah, it's definitely not casual. And what's fascinating is you can actually see the hidden value in terms of human growth.
Mm-hmm.
Amy Edmondson from Harvard Business School, she pointed out, I think it was in the Forward to Peer Innovation, that the very best teams and these forums really operate like high-performing teams. They don't just get results. They also develop their members into better people and professionals along the way.
That's huge. So the team's success and the individual's growth are like intertwined.
Yeah, totally intertwined. But, and this is crucial, it doesn't just happen magically by throwing smart people together.
Right.
For that hidden value, that collateral learning, to really flourish, the environment needs to be deliberately constructed. The Peer Innovation Framework calls it a thriving learning organism.
Okay, a learning organism. What does that framework say is required? What's the structure needed?
It basically works on two levels. At the very core, you need this dynamic interplay of three things: psychological safety, productivity, and accountability. They have to exist together.
Safety, productivity, accountability. Go on.
But those three can't just hang there on their own. They need support. They need the right people in the room. They need to be guided by a servant leader. And they all need to be rallied around a shared purpose.
Hold on, a sec, servant leader. CEOs are paying good money for these forums, for expert facilitation. Why is servant leadership so critical? Couldn't a really sharp, efficient, maybe more transactional facilitator get the same results, the same learning?
That's a fair question. But here's the thing. Collateral learning, especially the kind that involves attitudes and behaviors, it hinges on vulnerability. And vulnerability needs trust. A transactional facilitator can run a tight meeting, absolutely, keep things on track. But a servant leader, someone who genuinely prioritizes empowering the peers in the room, they're the ones who build that essential trust.
How so?
They set the tone. They make sure everyone feels heard, that it's safe to speak up, even challenge.
Mm.
Critically, they model humility themselves. When the leader, the facilitator, shows they're also learning, that they don't have all the answers, it makes it okay for everyone else to be vulnerable. They prioritize safety first. And from that safety, you get the openness needed for real productivity, and then eventually the trust needed to hold each other accountable constructively.
Wow, okay. Achieving that level of trust and vulnerability, especially with peers who might be competitors in some sense, that sounds incredibly challenging.
It is, definitely.
But if they get it right, it sounds like it unlocks some really significant behavioral shift.
It really does. That's the leap from insight to actual impact.
Yeah.
You know, the CEO comes in fixated on one problem and say, handling a difficult board member. They leave with some clarity on that specific issue, sure. But they also leave with a subtly remodeled idea of how to lead, how to interact. And that transformation isn't from a lecture. It's absorbed through watching their peers in action.
Okay, this is where it gets really, really interesting for me. What specific behaviors, what are the actual lessons these CEOs are picking up from watching their peers that they just couldn't get from, say, an executive coach or reading a business book?
They're basically watching high-definition case studies of leadership in action. They see how really successful people handle the messy, human parts of business, the parts usually kept behind closed doors.
Like what? Give us an example.
Okay, for instance, they observe how peers ask questions. Not grandstanding questions to show off how smart they are.
Right, we've all seen those meetings.
Exactly. But surgical questions. Questions designed purely to help the person presenting uncover their own hidden assumptions. The CEO watching learns that asking a question can be a powerful act of service, not an attack or a judgment.
That's a world away from a lot of corporate meetings, where questions can feel like hidden agendas or critiques.
Totally different. And they also see this delicate dance between empathy and candor. They watch a peer deliver a really tough message, you know, radical candor, but do it with genuine empathy and respect.
Mm-hmm.
So the observing CEO learns, okay, I can create space for vulnerability for the tough stuff without derailing the focus on getting results. They see that tough love doesn't need to be harsh. It needs to be grounded in genuine care and commitment.
And this learning by watching, this sort of behavioral remodeling, presumably that has to spill over back into their own companies, right? How does that peer-to-peer stuff actually change things organizationally?
It absolutely does over time. It starts to reshape the leader's own default behaviors. A CEO who's really felt the power of being deeply listened to in that forum setting, they go back and run their own meetings differently.
How so?
Well, they might stop feeling the need to dominate the conversation. They start listening more intently, trying to truly understand before jumping in with their own response. They might actively seek out dissenting views in decision-making because they've seen firsthand in the forum how that constructive friction, modeled by peers they respect, actually leads to smarter outcomes.
So they're not just bringing back the topic discussed, they're bringing back the way it was discussed, the culture of the discussion.
Precisely. They start planting those seeds of psychological safety in their own teams. They foster open dialogue where people aren't constantly looking over their shoulder, afraid of repercussions. And that unlocks so much potential that's often stifled in more traditional corporate settings.
Which brings us neatly to thinking about how this collateral learning can redefine some really fundamental concepts within an organization, like, say, accountability and curiosity. For the whole company to benefit, these leader behavior shifts have to cascade down, right?
Absolutely. That's where the real long-term return on investment kicks in. You know, a lot of people might think the forum's value stops with the CEO's personal growth, but really that's just the beginning. We need to look at how something like accountability transforms.
Go. Traditionally, accountability often feels tied to performance targets, pressure, maybe even blame if things go wrong. How does the forum environment, supposedly built on trust, change that picture for the CEO?
Well, the CEO experiences, maybe for the very first time, what true peer accountability feels like. It's not pressure coming down from a boss or a board. It's this mutual agreement, this shared commitment to succeed together.
Yeah.
When a peer in that trusted setting calls you out or pushes you, it doesn't feel punitive. It feels like,
yeah,
like they believe you can do better, like they're invested in helping you get there. So when the CEO really internalizes that feeling that accountability is rooted in trust and shared commitment, they start to replicate that feeling internally. They move away from just policing metrics and start building a culture where team members feel responsible to each other, committed to collective success. Accountability stops being about catching failure and starts being about enabling success together.
That's a really powerful shift, replacing that sort of stick of pressure with the pull of mutual commitment. Okay, and what about curiosity? You mentioned moving from people just reporting up to the leader, to team members actually learning from each other.
Right. In the forum, remember, people ask questions to genuinely understand, to shed light on the situation for everyone, including themselves. It's a shared exploration. When the CEO starts modeling that kind of curiosity, asking open, non-judgmental questions back in their own organization, it changes the whole flow of information and learning. Suddenly, the CEO doesn't have to be the bottleneck, the only source of answers or decisions. Instead, they become more of a connector, creating the safety and the pathways for team members to learn directly from one another's experiences and expertise. The leader shifts from being just the recipient of information to becoming the multiplier of learning throughout the team.
And that idea of multiplying learning loops right back to that core dynamic you mentioned earlier, psychological safety.
Exactly. It fuels this amazing virtuous cycle. The CEO champions safety, which allows for open, honest dialogue. That dialogue drives better ideas, more innovation, higher productivity. As productivity increases and people see results, it strengthens trust within the team. And with that trust, real, healthy accountability emerges naturally. The leader who's lived this among their peers can genuinely foster it within their own teams. They build a workplace where people feel inspired, safe to challenge things, and truly committed to winning together.
So, pulling this all together, what's the big picture takeaway for executive development? It sounds like the real goal of being in one of these forums isn't just about becoming a slightly better leader yourself, solving your immediate fires. It's about becoming a better developer of other leaders. It's fundamentally about transforming the organization's culture.
That's exactly it. The self-awareness, the empathy, the ability to think in systems, all gained through that collateral learning. These are the tools leaders need to create environments where everyone can perform at their best. They essentially learn how to import the high standards and supportive dynamics of that leadership laboratory back into their own company.
And just demonstrating that willingness to learn must send a powerful message.
Oh, absolutely. When leaders are open about learning, when they share what they're wrestling with, when they admit they don't have all the answers, it signals something huge to their teams. It shows that asking for help or admitting uncertainty isn't weakness, it's resourcefulness. It normalizes vulnerability. And when they genuinely trust and value their team members' input, they spark that same kind of peer-driven energy that transformed them in the forum.
So the core principles that make these exclusive forums work, things like trust, embracing diverse thoughts, holding each other accountable respectfully, having that shared sense of purpose, those are actually the keys to unlocking potential across the entire organization.
Precisely. The learning doesn't just stop when the forum meeting ends. It multiplies. It becomes embedded in the culture as the leader lives it out day to day.
Okay, so let's leave you, our listener, with a final thought to chew on. Something grounded right in these ideas. If a leader's own willingness to learn, to trust, and to genuinely appreciate their team can unlock this powerful peer-driven dynamic, what's one small experiment, maybe in vulnerability or in asking a truly curious, non-judgmental question, that you could try this week to start shifting the culture in the groups you lead or are part of?